Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Jesus is calling his very first disciples. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. This is the word of the Lord. I have to admit that I am always amazed when I read these words. Jesus calls, and Simon, whom we'll come to know as Peter, Simon and Andrew and James and John drop what they're doing and follow, just like that. I don't understand it. It makes me want to ask many, many questions. What did their spouses think about all this? What did their parents think? How did they manage to support their families? What was it about Jesus that made them listen in the first place? This happened at the beginning of his ministry. How did they know who he was? In the midst of my questioning, the Gospel of Mark highlights something in starkness and simplicity. Jesus calls us. We follow. It's the one thing all of our faith stories have in common. How did you come to believe in Jesus Christ? Perhaps you were raised in a home with believing parents. Your eyes and ears were trained in faith, and so you're able to perceive God's presence in the world. Perhaps you came to faith through pain or crisis. God provided safety and rescue. Or you heard or read about Jesus, and somehow you felt assured in your own heart that God cared for you. Perhaps you came to faith through the blessing of another believer you encountered. Seeing and appreciating the words and actions of that person helped you to see and appreciate God. Maybe you're not quite sure how you came to faith in Christ. It just made sense to you. I've just finished reading a very interesting story of faith. It's an autobiography called Fire Road. The author, a woman named Kim, is someone that most of us can call to mind, although we probably wouldn't recognize her name. She was the little girl, 11 years old, in the famous Associated Press photo of South Vietnamese children running down a road as they and the countryside around them were being napalmed. The photo earned a Pulitzer Prize in 1973. The circumstances that the photo captured changed Kim's life forever. Kim was terribly burned. She was left for dead in a hospital morgue. Her parents somehow discovered her and eventually found treatment for her burns, long, painful treatment that left her badly scarred. Her pain was constant. Even after her release from the hospital, still injured but as healed as medicine could make her, her troubles multiplied. Apart from her family, she was isolated and alone. And her family had many other problems: the devastation of their home and village, the poverty they suffered in the war's aftermath, and on and on and on. Her life was not her own. Her new government used that picture and her story for the purposes of propaganda. Her own hopes of pursuing an education, marrying, perhaps having children, all seemed to be in ruins. She had always practiced her local religious faith with great devotion, but it no longer brought her solace. She suffered from so many kinds of pain: physical, emotional, relational, that she hardly knew where to turn. All she wanted was for the pain to stop. She thought if she died, the pain would stop. And she thought about how she could make that happen. One day, when Kim was trying to avoid meeting another demanding government official, she slipped into the Saigon City Library. She walked to the back and crouched down so she wouldn't be seen. There, on the bottom shelf, she found a set of books on religion. There were books on many faiths, including a different branch of her own, and she skimmed through several of them. Among these books was a copy of the New Testament. When Kim opened it up to the Gospels, she couldn't believe what she read there. Her own faith told her there were 1,000 ways to get to God, and everybody knew that. But Jesus claimed that only he was the way, the truth, and the life. Kim read on through all four Gospels, and she learned that Jesus suffered for those words. He was tortured and crucified for claiming that the way to God lay through him. He was killed at the request of the people to whom he was sent. Kim didn't know what to think about all of this, but she was impressed that Jesus had stood his ground through pain and even death. It was clear to her that he suffered for what he believed. His pain had a purpose. It was a horrifying story, but it made sense. One of the hardest, bitterest facts of Kim's life was that the pilot who had dropped the napalm, burning her and killing two of her cousins, was himself South Vietnamese. She had been injured by friendly fire. It made no sense to her. Kim looked at Jesus' suffering, and she thought about how his pain made sense. She wondered if perhaps Jesus could make her pain make sense. As Christians, we believe that God is in charge of converting us. We talk about prevenient grace, our belief that the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts ahead of time to hear the Word of God and to respond to the Word of God. But we still have to hear that word spoken. It can be spoken aloud in prayer or worship or conversation. We can speak it to ourselves when we read the Psalms or other scripture aloud. It can even be spoken silently, as when we're reading the New Testament in a library. When we hear the invitation of the Word of God and we respond to it, We can agree that our decision to follow that call marks an important milestone in our lives. But that choice, that decision, is only the beginning of a journey. We will spend our whole lives living into the rest of the story. Kim's story is a long one. She did eventually come to faith in Christ, although at first she didn't even know any other Christians. Her faith solved some problems, and it created some problems, as when her family disowned her for no longer practicing their faith. She held herself accountable to the teaching she read in the Gospels. What impressed me was her persistence. Over time, she lifted up every complicated part of her life to God. Kim pursued his healing because he had promised it. Anger. Help me, Lord Jesus. Bitterness. Help me, Lord Jesus. Loneliness. Help me, Lord Jesus. Pain. Help me, Lord Jesus. Kim was willing to let God open the doors, but she spent a lot of time in prayer, study, and practice so that she would recognize open doors when she saw them. When she saw them, she walked through. She walked through even when it meant leaving things she cared about behind. She walked through even when she didn't know what she was walking into. Spoiler alert, her life has not led her to a life, this choice has not led her to a life of comfort and luxury. It has led her to new and renewed relationships, a sense of purpose, a capacity for forgiveness, a new life in a different country. It has led to living her whole life with chronic pain. The changes in Kim's life came about through God's willingness to give and through her persistence in discipleship. They were the result of her willingness to change when what she said and did failed to reflect the teachings of Christ. They were the result of her willingness to learn to live with what wasn't changed. God gave her the tools to do both of those things. All these many years later, this is what Kim says. Perhaps that is my sole mission in this life, to help put out whatever fires I find. We all are walking one fire road or another, be it paved by relational upheaval or financial upheaval, physical or emotional, or the general inconveniences of life. But when you and I come along in a posture of peace, or with gentle and kind words, or with an offer of prayer or a hug, or with anything that looks and acts like Jesus, it is as though we have used a fire extinguisher. The flames that burned hot settle down. At the beginning of her journey, Kim wasn't a fire extinguisher. She needed a fire extinguisher herself. She found one in Jesus Christ. Over many years, she learned from Jesus, from his ways that are not our ways, from his ways that are not the ways of our world. It required God's love and grace. And it required her time, focus, attention, and application. Kim's story is a very modern story, set in the midst of the choices of our contemporary world. But it brings us right back to our scripture reading. Who knew that fishers of fish would be good at being fishers of people? Well, you might be thinking Jesus knew, and maybe you're right. But the scripture doesn't tell us that these four disciples were somehow uniquely qualified. It says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.'" The remaining 15 chapters of Mark show us how Jesus made fishermen into fishers of people. It shows us that fairly often the disciples misunderstood what Jesus was teaching. They sometimes came to the wrong conclusions. They said the wrong things, and they made the wrong decisions. But Jesus didn't tell them, "Okay, unfollow me." He kept on forming them. On this journey, we, like the disciples, may sometimes find ourselves confused and mystified. We understand that God wants us to act in a certain way. What we might not understand is that God wants our actions to be consistent in every area of our lives, not just at certain times or in certain places or with certain people. This brings me to repeat what Pastor Gary said last week as he was blessing us at the end of the service. God empowers his followers. God equips those he has called. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that God's empowerment didn't stop with the end of Jesus' life on earth. It goes on through the work of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. I know we can't literally follow Jesus anymore, walking along behind him over some dusty path in the Middle East. But we still have Jesus' word to lead us. We still have the Holy Spirit with us, equipping us through worship and prayer and fellowship and service and study and the Lord's Supper, among many, many other things. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people, is as true a statement today as it was when Jesus spoke it in Galilee. Jesus makes us into disciples, but he does it with our cooperation, with our willingness to respond. Our work isn't done once we've made that initial commitment. I can't tell you what the rest of the story is because we're all still living it. But I'm excited to see it developing in us and around us. What a calling we have. What a privileged people we are to participate in the story of God on earth. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for each person here, for the faithful service we are willing to render you, and for the joy that living in your ways brings us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.